Welcome to The Lay Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship. Lay teacher Tom Murray continues our study about the Messiah by answering the question, what kind of Messiah did the Old Testament reveal? Yesterday we learned how Rabbi Rashi spoke up and agreed that Psalm 2, 7-14 spoke of the Messiah and not David. We also learned how he will rule as the eternal king. Join us now as Tom continues.
Well, I want to welcome you back. Last time I ended the program by reading Psalm 16, verses 1 to 11 to you, where the psalmist is dealing with the death of the Messiah. So I'm not going to reread those verses to you, but I did tell you that in verses 4 to 9 of this Psalm 16, the psalmist clearly says that God the Father is going to be the one in whom the Messiah will put his total trust in life and even at the point of death in verses 10 to 11. So even in his death, we're told in Psalm 16 that the Messiah will still trust only in God. Now the whole point of this song is that even though God allows the Messiah to die, yet the Messiah says in this psalm, thou wilt not abandon my soul to Sheol, neither wilt thou allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. So what this tells us in Psalm 16 is that the Messiah will be resurrected back to life. So what can we learn from Psalm 16 that will help us have another little piece to the puzzle about the Messiah and his first coming? Well, in this Psalm 16, we're told that the Messiah is going to enjoy a unique relationship with God, his Father, and that this aspect of the Messiah's life is going to be emphasized by his trusting in his Father, both in life and in death. Now, this aspect of the Messiah's life is what John, in his gospel account, is really emphasizing, the trust of the Messiah in God for both life and for resurrection. But also in this passage, Psalm 16, we're told that the Messiah will die even unto death, and thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol. But we're also told that I will not see corruption. Therefore, the Messiah must be raised or resurrected back to life. Now, that brings us to the next passage in the writings, which also is in the Psalms, but this time in Psalm chapter 22, and we're going to deal with the whole passage, verses 1 to 31, but I'm not going to read all 31 verses. It would take up most of our radio time, this broadcast. But what I'm going to do is just read it to you as we progress through the psalm. Now, Psalm 22 is the most famous of all of the messianic psalms because the entire psalm is devoted to the events regarding the first coming, and there is very few parts of 22nd Psalm that deal with the second coming of the Messiah. Now, the psalm divides into two main parts, and the first part of Psalm 22 deals with the suffering of the Messiah, and the second part deals with his exaltation following his death. But the whole psalm could be viewed as a poetic version of what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 53, about the suffering servant of Jehovah, which we have already covered. So the psalm was written before the prophecy of Isaiah. So therefore, Psalm 22 precedes what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 53. Now, under the first major part, or the first part of Psalm 22, which deal with the sufferings of the Messiah, that will cover verses 1 to 21. We want to break this down into subparts. Now, what you're going to find in verses 1 and 2 is the Messiah's cry for help from the Father. And in verses 1 and 2, let me read to you what exactly the Messiah says. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. O my God, I cry by day, but thou dost not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. Now, it's no accident that these are the very words that Jesus cried out during the 3 hours of darkness when he was hanging on the cross. He quoted these words after the first 3 hours of his suffering, but then he quoted these three at the end of the second 3 hours in the darkness. Now, during those last 3 hours, the entire wrath of God, which was due to the sins of Israel, but also the sins of the whole world, was poured by God onto him as the substitute. Now, this is the one and the only place in the Gospels where Jesus ever addressed God as my God. On every other occasion in the Gospels, and there are over 170 references, Jesus says, Father or my Father, when referring to God. So it's made very clear that Jesus enjoyed a very special, unique relationship with God in that he called him Father or my Father. But on the cross, during that 3 hours of darkness, and particularly near the end of that 3 hours, Jesus was dying for the sins of the world, and he was experiencing a judicial relationship with God, not a paternal relationship, and therefore his cry was, my God, instead of my Father. Now, in verses 3 to 5, the psalmist refers to God's past deliverance. And it refers to the fact that God is fully able to deliver the Messiah, but he is not choosing to deliver him during that second 3 hours on the cross. Listen, yet thou art holy, O thou who art enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In thee our fathers trusted. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. To thee they cried out and were delivered. In thee they trusted and were not disappointed. Now the Messiah in this psalm is saying that Israel, whenever they trusted in God, God never let them down. And the Messiah is trusting in God based upon God's past deliverance. But in that time, it was God's sovereign will that the Son bear the sins of Israel and the whole world, and God would not deliver him from the judgment or the wrath of being him who knew no sin being made sin. Now, verses 6 to 8 of Psalm 22 deal with the fact that the Messiah is going to be despised. Now, these verses are exactly in sync with what Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, but these verses in Psalm 22, 6 to 8, were written before Isaiah ever wrote Psalm 53, and yet this psalm clearly reveals the taunts and the jibes of evil men as they watch the Son of God, the Messiah, suffer. And the words that are used right here in Psalm 22, 6 to 8 are very similar to the words of ridicule that were used by the crowd standing around the cross at the crucifixion of Jesus. At the cross, he was reproached and scorned and taunted. Listen to what verses 6 through 8 actually say. But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag the head, saying, Commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver you. Let him rescue you because he delights in him. Those sound very much like exactly what you would read in the New Testament, even though this psalm was written before Isaiah 53. Now, in verses 9 to 11, we are reminded that God is the one in whom the Messiah trusts. And these verses 9 to 11 state that the Messiah has trusted in God since his physical birth. Now, there are references in this passage, 9 to 11, to the mother of the Messiah, but as in all the other messianic prophecies, there is never any mention of any human father being referred to. So Messiah would be born of a virgin, just as Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 7:14. Let me read 9 to 11 to you from Psalm 22. Yet thou art he who didst bring me forth from the womb. Thou didst make me trust upon my mother's breast. Upon thee I was cast from birth. Thou hast been my God from my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Now the Messiah definitely trusted in God. And then in verses 12 to 18 of Psalm 22, we actually have a very graphic description of the agony that the Messiah suffered while he was on the cross for that 6 hours. And some of the words contained in Psalm 22, 12 to 18 are almost quoted verbatim in the New Testament. So let me read to you verses 12 to 18 from Psalm 22. But before I do that, I see that I have just over a minute, so I don't think it would be in your best interest for me to even try to read these verses, but it'd be better to wait until our next broadcast. I do want to just take our last minute to tell you that I hope you will contact us at our website if you use computers at www.milktomeat.org, and certainly you can email us at info@milktomeat.org, and we would love to hear your comments and your input and your questions. We will try to get around to answering your questions as quickly as we can. We also encourage you to find out more about our Milk to Meat discipleship classes, which begin each fall and run just as the school calendar. And you can also participate in our summer Bible study, which we do each year for 10 weeks. If you'll call the office at 685-3385, the girls can give you all the information you need. Well, I'll see you next time for the rest of Psalm 22.
Thank you, Tom. Well, I hope that these programs are helping you get a better understanding about God's plan for your life. And if you'd like a cassette copy of this program, you can call us at 901-685-3385. Outside Memphis, call toll-free 866-685-3385. You can also contact us through our new website at www.milktomeat.org. where you'll find helpful information, ministry tools, and even audio files of the radio programs. Now make plans to join us again next time right here for The Lay Disciple.